Hello, hello, and welcome. You are on CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver, and you are listening to Euroneuro, the Eurovision Song Contest show of CITR. Broadcasting this time live from the University of British Columbia, which is situated on the traditional, ancestral, and stolen territories of the Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh nations. Today, I have a very special guest. you know her from her CITR show, Friday Night Fever. She's Sophie.
Hello.
It's a delight to have you here, Sophie. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
In this, you made this episode special.
Oh, thank you.
Special episode of Euroneuro, where we will be talking about Eurovision 2016. Mm-hmm. But first, in case anyone who doesn't know you, would you like to introduce yourself a bit?
Yeah, sure. So my name is Sophie. I host a show on Friday nights from 6 to 7:30 p.m. called Friday Night Fever, where we focus on like disco, funk, and R&B from Canada and around the world.
Check it out, everyone. So what do you do, Sophie?
So I recently graduated from UBC. Mm-hmm. I currently serve and bartend, and I also do freelance event photography.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Hopefully going to, so I've got an offer from UBC and U of T to go to grad school in September. Mm-hmm. To do a master's degree.
Oh,
so
you'll start in September?
Yeah, well, yeah, we'll see. I might defer. We'll see.
Okay. Okay.
We have lots to discuss about academia and all sorts.
Yeah. We are both grad school sufferers, or sufferers to be. We can definitely talk. I'd love to hear more. So how familiar are you with Eurovision?
So obviously, like a lot of people who grew up in Europe, it was kind of on the TV once a year. I knew some people that were obsessed with it, some people that couldn't care less. Uh-huh. I've been to a few Eurovision parties. I have a few very core memories mm-hmm. of like Eurovision songs, uh-huh. like from growing up, that have just like stuck in my head.
Oh, like which one?
Like, okay, so this is one I was thinking of on the bus over, but do you remember, this is quite a niche one, but like Flying the Flag from 2007, it's the UK one, it's so camp and brilliant.
No, actually no. Oh,
I just 2007. Yeah.
2007 is one of the Eurovision that I watched for way less, because I remember falling asleep watching that. I was just a kid. But I remember the winning song.
Yes.
The Molitva. It was, I don't know if you know that.
No.
It was one of the best winners.
Nice.
But yeah, I'll definitely check that out. Flying the Flag.
Flying the Flag. It's so camp. It's like a Eurodance like thing. Mm-hmm. And it's hilarious. It's so funny. Yeah. But yeah, Eurovision. For this episode, obviously, I've done a bit of reading and preparation. I don't consider myself a Eurovision fanatic, but like maybe next year I will be. I don't know.
Yeah. If you become a fanatic throughout the way, we can host the next year's Eurovision live.
Yeah, nice.
I don't know. In case you missed it, I hosted the grand final of Eurovision live for this year, last Saturday. It was so much fun. Check it out on CITR's webpage, citr.ca/euro-neuro. What else? What else? Any other songs that you remember from past Eurovision?
So I remember the song by Conchita Wurst,
mm-hmm.
from, I think it was 2016.
2014.
2014, yeah, okay, because I was thinking, right, like I remember seeing that on the TV, and I think mm-hmm. that was the first time I'd ever seen drag, ever, and like...
It might be the same, no, I grew up in Turkey, mm-hmm. and we had a very famous drag character,
mm-hmm.
but of course, in Turkey, we never referred to him as drag, or he never explicitly stated his sexual orientation,
right?
But we knew he was a drag, so yeah, it wasn't the first time, but it was the first time that I saw it as an LGBTQI+ representation.
Absolutely, yeah. For sure. And I just remember the reaction at the time, and then I was thinking today about how different things are now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I remember it was all over the newspapers,
yeah.
being like, what is this person? Like, yeah. blah, blah, blah. Like, we don't understand. Like, saying all this horrible stuff in, like, you know, the mm-hmm. mainstream newspapers,
yeah.
and stuff, and how that just would absolutely, 9 years later, that would absolutely not fly.
Mm-hmm.
And thank goodness.
Yeah.
Like, how far we've come,
yeah.
in such a short amount of time, really. It's really, yeah. And then, yeah, also, I guess, just Eurovision, in terms of just being part of, like, queer culture, mm-hmm. and stuff. And, like,
it's a super huge part. Like,
yeah.
it might be the biggest queer party in Europe of the year.
And it's just so wonderfully
yeah.
camp and like fantastic, and yeah, it's great. I love it.
Yeah.
Now I love it. Yeah.
Yeah. Like Conchita is one of the reasons Turkey is not participating anymore.
Really?
Yeah, like Turkey stopped participating in 2012, officially stating the biased voting patterns.
Mm.
But although I heard like the executive of the state TV saying that we cannot allow our children to see women with beards.
Oh my gosh.
So yeah, those horrible things were said.
Oh.
So yeah, but if next week, 2 weeks later, sorry, we have a runoff election, a presidential election,
mm-hmm.
Because in the first round, nobody reached 50%.
Mm-hmm.
If the government changes, hopefully, I really hope so, then next year, hopefully, Turkey will return.
Wow. Looking forward to that. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Damn. Fingers crossed, hey?
Yeah. So, Eurovision, let's talk about Eurovision 2016.
Yes.
Just a brief info. It was held in Stockholm. Sweden, hence my t-shirt today.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, yeah, I didn't notice that. Oh, that's fantastic. That's so funny.
Because the year before, Måns Zelmerlöw, representing Sweden, won with his song Heroes. It's a very classic Swedish entry. I like it. It's a nice song, but Sweden sends the same song over and over again each year, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
But they really have the codes to how to win the Eurovision. That's why they are one of the, as you mentioned earlier, one of the top winners of the Eurovision with Ireland.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So it was held in Stockholm. It was a really good organization, in my opinion, one of the most fun Eurovisions to watch. And what did you think about that year?
Like, so I thought it was definitely interesting because obviously, like, I think this was actually one of the first times where I've really sat down and paid attention to every single thing going on. Like, normally it's just kind of on in the background and, like, you know, there's like a drinking game happening, so I'm not really focused on what's going on. But like, yeah, I did enjoy it. I particularly enjoyed, so we had like a little pre-show chat and I really enjoyed the like interval entertainment as well. Like, I thought they really smashed it out of the park there. Like, not only with like the introductory song, like, I think it's This Is Eurovision, is that, or this, yeah,
something like that,
yeah, This Is Eurovision, and then, oh, That's Eurovision, that's it, okay. That's what it's called, and then Love Love Peace Peace, yeah, by the host,
that's a classic,
yeah. And I thought that was so hilarious and it really just like put everything back into context for me. I think initially, like, I felt like I didn't really quite get why everyone loved Eurovision so much. Like, I kind of, like, I enjoyed watching it, but, like, for example, one of my friends is, like, a super fan, like, you are, like a super fan. And, like, I was like, oh, okay, like, oh, I just don't understand. And then it's, like, when they have that song, Love, Love, Peace, Peace, where they're kind of, like, this is how you have a perfect Eurovision song, where they're, like, kind of, like, making fun of all like the tropes and stuff of all the songs. I thought that was so fun. Yeah, exactly. And like, it totally made sense after that. I was like, okay, I get it. Like, yeah, it was so funny.
Yeah. We will hear La La Peace Peace shortly.
Yes.
But nice. So let's hear a song from Eurovision 2016 and let's open with your favorite song from that year.
Okay, my favorite song. Okay, I really liked the one by Agneta. It was Icebreaker. I really felt like it was so... I can't believe she got 31st. Like, I really thought she would place higher than that. Yeah. What a shame. She was robbed, Agneta. She really was.
Which country was she representing?
Norway.
Norway, okay.
Yes.
Yeah, let me find it out.
Oh, yeah, there's a lot to scroll through. Oh, yeah, that one's done in... ascending order, I think. So she'll be right at the bottom.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I was listening to that playlist too. Yeah.
I found it. Okay. So we are going to listen to Icebreaker from Agneta representing Norway in Eurovision 2016, and this is the favorite song from that year of my guest Sophie. So we will be back right after this song.
Every night before I sleep, a shiver down my spine. Thoughts a lie, what can I do to make you listen? Like a northern light, you're dancing over every borderline. Passing every sign between reality.
Single promise that you ever made.
Whenever you lose faith, just hold the line. It takes a lot of nerve to save a
I forget those songs are only 3 minutes. They are really short.
Yeah, it's actually a time limit.
Yes,
three minutes time limit. So welcome back, everyone. You are on CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver, and you are listening to Euroneuro, the Eurovision Song Contest show of CITR. And we've just heard Icebreaker by Agnetha, representing Norway in Eurovision 2016, together with my guest, Sophie.
Woohoo.
Sophie, would you like to tell us a bit about how you got involved with CITR?
Yes, so this story goes back many years. Let's rewind back to 2017 when mm-hmm. I was a first year, and I thought CITR was so cool because I'd like seen it on the campus tours, and I was mm-hmm. like, wow, I want to like do something to do with that. And then I was always too shy to like come into the station. Uh-huh. Like, I don't know, I think other people sometimes can feel this too, especially with UBC. Like mm-hmm. it can be, I think just because everything is so big and so good here, it can be very like intimidating. Like mm-hmm. the bar is high, you know? Mm-hmm. So yeah, it can be a bit stressful. So yeah, picture me a first year. Mm-hmm. I came in for my campus tour because that was like, I felt like it was mandatory or something. I came in and then they were doing a tour, and then I don't know if you know Duncan from Duncan's Donuts.
I've heard of him, but no, I haven't met him.
So he's a long-running programmer on CITR, yeah. And he was doing his show when they brought me into this room. And then he said, oh, if you'd like come like shadow, because I think you have to shadow a certain number of shows yeah. in order to have your own program. So I shadowed him and I was like, wow, this is so cool. And I remember being so shy. I couldn't even get a word out. Like he would like try and like put the mic on for me to say something. And I'd be like, like I'd be like, so I couldn't even speak. I was so nervous. And then, yeah, I guess things after that, I kind of slowly started coming to more events with my friend Max, who was also a long-running member at CITR. Mm-hmm. And then after, I think it was 2018, so the next year, we decided we were going to have our own show. I basically had envisioned like a disco show because there wasn't anything like that on CITR. Mm-hmm. I was really into disco at the time, still am, one of my big loves. So me and Max decided to co-host. We made the demo, we sent it in, and we've been doing it ever since. Max, unfortunately, had to take a step back from the show last year because of his work schedule, but he'll come on occasionally every now and then mm-hmm. to like co-host with me. And yeah, it's just going strong still.
Yeah, really cool.
Never run out of music, never run out of good times. So mm-hmm. yeah, that is the long-winded story of how I got involved at CITR.
Yeah, like it's a really nice place to be because like in CITR, what I noticed that they want you to be on air.
Right.
So they encourage you. They do everything to make you. Like I remember my first time. I was hosting the Victory Square block party of CITR.
Nice, cool.
And I was just like you. Like I couldn't get a word out. I was hosting with Cora.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you know them.
Yes.
You know them.
Yeah.
So yeah. Like, but here I am.
Good for you.
I cannot say I'm like completely all chill, relaxed, but way better, of course.
It takes a while. Takes a while, definitely. It does. But that's so sweet. Yeah, Cora's show is just before mine.
Mm-hmm. Pacific Weird Noise.
Pacific Noise Weird.
Pacific yeah. Noise Weird. Yeah.
And such good production value. Like mm-hmm. Cora often doesn't do it live, so I hear the like recorded episodes when I'm mm-hmm. getting ready for the studio, and I'm like really impressed.
Yeah.
Like it's really high yeah. quality. Yeah. Yeah, but that's so fun. Had you done like radio stuff beforehand, or was this
no,
your first time?
I always wanted to do, but I didn't have the chance before. Like I grew up listening to the radio. Mm-hmm. My dad is a big radio fan, mm-hmm. and we were like listening to talk shows on radio every morning, mm-hmm. like having breakfast. So I always wanted to do that, but like in every city I have moved to, like I was first the undergrad student in Ankara, Turkey, then mm-hmm. I moved to Helsinki, Finland for a failed PhD experience.
I remember you telling me about
yeah.
this.
Yeah. And like in every place, I looked for opportunities. Like And here, finally, I found a place where it was the easiest for the students to be on the air, to get the training to be on the air. So, like, the moment I came here, I started looking for opportunities. And luckily, I found CITR, found out about CITR. And yeah, that's how I started about
That's so nice. Oh, that's so sweet. And then I remember, yeah, you said it was like your dream to have a show.
Yeah.
Like you wanted to do this show specifically, which is so fun.
It was my like childhood dream to host the like Eurovision Live, which came to last weekend.
Oh, yeah.
So lovely. Going back to Eurovision 2016, let's talk about winners first. Mm-hmm. Winners and first place takers. Mm-hmm. And generally, I start with like who won the jury vote and who won the televote. Mm-hmm. And the jury vote, the professional jury vote, was won by Australia, which has been a guest country since 2015. Mm-hmm. They were celebrating Eurovision's 60th anniversary, and that's how Australia got invited and stayed.
I think that's so funny. It is so funny. Yeah, and then they just, it was like supposed to be like a novelty, and then they're just doing it forever
now. Why not? So it happens to be my favorite song from that year as well. Yes. Let's hear Sound of Silence by Dummy Im, representing Australia in Eurovision 2016. After that, we will take a short break, which we will be back right after.
Growing tired and weary, brown eyes. Trying to feel your love through FaceTime. Symphonies of dreams and highlights, caught up in this crazy fast life. But baby, you're not here with me, and I keep calling, calling. Keep going.
To the sound of silence. In October of 2022, the Vancouver Adapted Music Society held its flagship event, the Strong Sessions, for the fifth time. All Strong Sessions feature a variety of musicians with disabilities, paired with established local artists and bands. Each month until September this year, VAMS will be releasing the performances from our 2022 show on the Reimagine Radio YouTube channel, where you can also find past Strong Sessions content. To stay up to date with us, subscribe to the channel and drop a like to show some support.
Access Day is happening May 18th, and we're discussing how spaces can be more inclusive through accessibility related to performance. Along with these discussions, there will also be live performances from Vancouver's Adapted Music Society by Rachel Ransom, who is performing at 12 p.m. on May 18th, showcasing catchy melodic songs and thoughtful lyrics, along with another performance at 1 p.m. on May 18th by 77 Spokes, who is a spiritually driven, conscious hip-hop lyricist who has been writing songs and rapping for the last 20 years. Be sure to tune in on May 18th to CITR on CITR 101.9 FM or CITR.ca to catch these performances along with interviews.
Welcome back, everyone. You are on CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver, and you are listening to Euronero, the Eurovision Song Contest show of CITR. I'm together with Sophie now, and we've just heard Sound of Silence by Dami Im, representing Australia in Eurovision 2016, and they won the highest score from the jury votes that year. So, we have been talking about the winners and the first place holders, and this was the jury votes winner, but the televote was won by Russia, with Sergei Lazarev and his song You Are the Only One. The funny thing about this year is Ukraine neither got first in the jury vote nor in the televote, but they won overall. So there were some complaints about that, but that's how it goes, right? 50% of the votes add up. So Ukraine's song was 1944. By Jamala, and this is a song about the exile of Crimean Tatars under the rule of Stalin in the Soviet era. And we have mentioned about the Russia-Ukraine conflict in the very first episode of Euronero, which covered the Eurovision 2022, which was also won by Ukraine, with the sympathy votes from all over Europe after the invasion of Ukraine by Russia, which I kind of found unnecessary because there is an occupation in Ukraine, which is the case, but what I think is going on is that all the especially NATO countries is promoting the war rather than pushing for a diplomatic solution, because there's an unrest there, like people there who are unhappy with their situation, and they for sure have the right to self-determination. Instead of solving this through like diplomatic solutions or like a very highly supervised referendum kind of thing. Everyone wanted the war, and there they got the war now. They got what they wanted, and they are still pushing forward with it, sending a huge loads of arms, especially from Germany. Poland was recently bragging about how many tanks they sent to Ukraine. So yeah, and back to like Eurovision 2016, Sergei Lazarev's song, the Russian entry, is one of my favorites, and I think you like that quite a lot too.
I did like it, and I feel guilty for liking it, but it is a really good song. For it.
Like, Russia is one of the, as we were talking before, Russia is, one of the most successful Eurovision countries. Mm. In 2021, I even voted for them. It was a great song.
Like, cancelled.
Guilty, sorry. Like, I voted for them, and I think it's, it doesn't make sense that they are excluded. Like, I feel it's kind of hypocritical because Israel is also in the Eurovision Song Contest.
It's
the occupation state by itself. Azerbaijan. Let's talk about Azerbaijan.
Yes.
Because, like, we were chatting about the controversies of 2016, and Sophie brought up a very good point there.
Yeah, so we were discussing the flag policy that was implemented by the administrators of the Eurovision 2016, where they basically said they said, okay, first of all, only official national flags are allowed, but also no, like, non-official, like, unofficial flags are allowed either. So those being the Basque country and the ISIS flag.
They're pretty much the same thing, no?
Like, how could you, like, lump those two together? Like, it's insane. Like, what the hell? And then, obviously, there was, like, a big controversy about that. And then there was also the issue with the Nagorno-Karabakh flag. Which I was hoping you would tell me more about, because I still don't really know too much about it.
Nagorno-Karabakh is a long Armenian majority, long district of Armenian majority for a very long time. And in under the Soviet rule, they were connected to the former Soviet Republic of Azerbaijan. Mm-hmm. But they wanted to be under the rule of Armenia or be independent. They didn't want the Azerbaijani rule, which makes sense. Like, as I said, people have the right to self-determination. And Azerbaijan didn't accept that, and the Soviet central government didn't accept it either. And in 1993, as a result of a huge conflict era, Armenia invaded that country, that region. And since then, it has been under the Armenian rule or a, like, de facto independent state for a very long time, mm-hmm. until 2022, where Azerbaijan launched an invasion towards the region, stating that they were firing, like, tanks, something like that, towards Azerbaijan, which after that it turned out, and it was confirmed twice by the Azerbaijani president Ilham Aliyev. He said that they were the ones who launched the attack with no reason. They just wanted to take the country back by killing dozens of people, wow. civilians, soldiers, and he, I even remember a picture of him standing in front of the helmets of Armenian soldiers that they killed, which was like cruelty at most. Yeah. And Turkey, I will again talk about Turkey, just like NATO countries pushed the war in Ukraine. Turkey pushed the war in Azerbaijan. They provided armed drones. Turkey has been a giant war machines under the Erdogan rule, and all they do is produce arms, warships, tanks, armed drones. Armed drones have been one of the biggest tools of Turkey's human rights violations. Mm-hmm. And they also imported that to Azerbaijan, and Azerbaijan made a huge use of those things during the invasion of Nagorno-Karabakh again. And right now they are blocking the only connection Nagorno-Karabakh had with the Armenia. It's called the Lachin Corridor. And this connection causes them to have basically close to famine.
Right.
Yeah. This is the case in Nagorno-Karabakh. And their flag is also banned.
Yes, yes.
crazy. So it doesn't make sense. Eurovision's no politics policy doesn't make sense because it's politics everywhere.
How could you not have politics?
Like, right, how, like, right?
Like, so, I don't know.
That's all that it's about. So, oh. Let's hear if you have anything to add.
I thought it was really interesting how you're, like, it's really, when you're saying now, you know, like, you know, Germany, etc., like Poland, like sending tanks to Ukraine and stuff. Like, I genuinely, of course it is, but I never even considered it this way, in that they're supporting, like, the war, and that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, I just thought, like, yeah. Oh, like, they must have, like, you know, they must feel like they have no other option, and they're, like, you know, defending Ukraine. But then, like, I guess what would be their other option, though? They can't just be like, oh, like, stop fighting, like, you know, like.
But they have, like, NATO, personally, I'm against NATO.
Okay.
But they have a thing called, like, NATO doesn't even need to be involved. Sorry about that. There's an institution called United Nations.
Yes.
They can get involved, and they can send a peace corps.
Yeah.
Like, not the
one.
Do
you think Russia would listen? Like,
I mean, they have to listen, right? They are bound by the United Nations rules. And if, instead of taking side with only Ukraine, they would also consider the needs and demands of the Russian people in Ukraine, which is the cause of the conflict.
Yes.
That arose. Yeah. If they considered those people's demands too, I'm sure that there would be no need for a war. Like, there is no way I'm supporting Putin in any way, by the way. But he would have to abide, because if one side is prevented from war and the rest of the world is calling against war, then he would have to listen, in my opinion.
Okay, interesting. And it's also, yeah, I also like can't believe that more countries don't, well, obviously, like, because that's just the way it is, but like, I'm surprised and saddened that more countries don't boycott like Israel's involvement.
Yeah.
I'm like, why is Israel in this? Like, it's like, it's insane. I don't know why that's just like, you know, just like so normalized in Eurovision. Yeah. Like, what?
Like, everyone's like, oh, Russia, boo. And then here Israel, take the stage.
No, it's insane. Yeah. Like, it really makes you think. It's something I never considered before this show. And now I'm just like, what is going on? Like, wow.
That's good. And speaking of flags, in 2019, Icelandic representative Hatari held a Palestinian flag in the contest that was held in Tel Aviv, because the previous year Israel won. And that flag was confiscated and the Icelandic broadcaster was fined for that.
Oh my gosh.
It's just like the flags that Europe wants. Wow. The rest of them are banned. It's not no politics thing.
For real, yeah, no politics, but like only the politics that we think is right. Yeah. Like it's like insane. Like, wow.
So, let's hear Russian and Ukrainian songs back to back. Russia is the winner of the televote. And Ukraine is the overall winner. And it was a very close race. Like they ended up being separated 23 points only. It was one of the most exciting voting sequences ever. And we will first hear You Are the Only One by Sergei Lazarev representing Russia, followed by 1944 by Jamala representing Ukraine.
We can never let the word be unspoken. We will never let our loving go come undone. Everything we had is staying unbroken. No, you will always be the only one. You're the only one. Won't ever give up, cause you're still somewhere out there. Nothing or no one's gonna keep us.
when strangers are coming. They come to your house, they kill you all and say, we're not guilty, not guilty. Where is your mind? Humanity cries. You think you are God, but everyone dies. Don't swallow my soul, our souls.
Welcome back, everyone. You are on CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver, and you are listening to Euronero, the Eurovision Song Contest show of CITR. We've just heard You Are the Only One by Sergei Lazarev and 1944 by Jamala, representing Russia and Ukraine respectively, and winners of the televote and the overall winner respectively again. I'm together with Sophie, and we will hear more about her favorite songs from Eurovision 2016.
So it was so hard to choose. I have like a list of like, I think I have 6 favorites, and then I have 8 wow. honorable mentions, wow. and then I have 4 least favorites. But so we've already played my number one, which is Icebreaker by Agnetha, mm-hmm. Who I found out is actually, she has a Sami heritage, which mm-hmm. is really interesting. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that, and I was wondering too if there were any, I guess it's something to look up later, if there were any like references to like Sami culture in the song, I wonder.
Oh yeah.
I don't know. I'll have to look that up.
I remember in Eurovision 2018, again, Norway's representative, I forgot the name of the band, there was a Sami member and he was rapping in Sami actually.
Nice.
So that was a full reference. But in this song, I should also double check.
Nice. I wonder, I think, I guess it was kind of like, I wonder if indigenous representation in Eurovision has increased over a number of years, or if it's kind of stayed the same. What do you think?
The thing is, I wouldn't say so. I wouldn't say it increased. There has been some representations every now and then, like mm-hmm. Romani people, for example. The Roman people have been have had their moments on stage.
Really?
Several
I
times.
Didn't know that. Yeah,
like
yeah.
in 2009, Czechia, now Czechia, it mm-hmm. was Czech Republic
yeah,
then.
Czech, yeah, yeah.
Had sent a song called Aven Romale, which means we are Romans or let's go Romans. I couldn't remember mm-hmm. on top of my head. And it was a song about Roman people.
Mm-hmm.
And it got 0 points.
Oh.
It was such a shame. I really rooted for that.
And there's racism and stuff that's probably coming into play
yes,
there, hey?
Yes, yeah. Like it, yeah. There's a huge stereotype against Roman people. Mm-hmm. And when I was in Finland, I went to a demonstration on the World Romani Day. And that was all that was talked about. How people were subjected to stereotypes. Prejudices
mm-hmm.
From both sides, from Romani people and from people who had these kind of prejudices before. So it's a big issue. They are the largest group in Europe that way. And Sami people also have similar issues. I don't know if mm-hmm. you know, if you have any info on that.
So I don't know too much about the Sami people other than I watched a film recently by mm-hmm. Ella, I think it's, I'll have to double check her name. It was in an indigenous... Okay, so it's L. Maya Tailfeathers. She had a really amazing film that I was shown in one of my classes at UBC. I'm just trying to find the name of it.
Okay.
I think it was... Oh, yeah, so I think it was A Red Girl's Reasoning. Mm-hmm. And then there was also... Sorry, I can't find the name of the other one. Basically, she had... this amazing film about her heritage and stuff. So I mm-hmm. kind of learned a bit about the Sami through mm-hmm. that. She has like, she's like half Sami and half Blackfoot. So mm-hmm. she has like a really interesting history of being yeah. part of both of those wow. groups at once. Yeah.
Yeah.
yeah. But yeah, I don't know too much about the Sami people, but yeah, through that film, it is amazing. If I can try and find the name, I'll say it mm-hmm. after the
yeah,
ad
definitely.
Break. Yeah,
definitely. Yeah. I've been to an open air museum about Sami culture when mm-hmm. I was in Finland. I went to Northern Finland to see the Northern Lights.
Oh, wow. Now did you see them?
Oh, I saw them.
Oh, nice.
Like Northern Lights are magical.
Oh, I bet. Wow. It's amazing.
And like they suffer from many things that the indigenous people suffer from or the ethnic groups suffer from, like mm-hmm. Right to have education in mother tongue, mm-hmm. right to have their mother tongues as official languages, and also their lands. Like they live in a forested area mm-hmm. in the north of Finland, and in north of Finland, Norway, Sweden, and Russia, mm-hmm. actually. And like they make a living off reindeer herding,
mm-hmm.
But they need farm and staple areas to do so. But the city side is town structure is always expanding towards their lands.
Mm-hmm.
So they suffer from that a lot.
And they were also put into residential school as well, which I didn't realize until... So the film, I've just looked it up, it's called Beatos.
Mm-hmm.
The like English word is rebel. And then that film is the one that kind of explores like her heritage. Mm-hmm. And then this is Elmaya Tailfeathers. And then the other film is A Red Girl's Reasoning. And it talks about like being a survivor of sexual assault. Mm-hmm. And like it was made as part of the Vancouver Crazy Eights film competition, which is like a kind of famous film competition that happens here. And yeah, she also went to UBC.
Oh wow.
So yeah, repping.
Oh wow.
yeah, it's an amazing film. You should definitely watch it. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Oh, thanks for all the information.
Yeah.
Really valuable. So what is your next favorite song from Eurovision?
So another song that really stuck out to me that is one of my many favorites from 2016 mm-hmm. was the entry from the Netherlands. Mm-hmm. So this one placed 11th. It did surprisingly well. And it's Slow Down by, I think it's pronounced Dewey Bob.
I think so too.
I don't know how best to say that. I don't know if there's like a proper Netherlands pronunciation. But the really interesting thing about this is that it's a country song. Mm-hmm. And it kind of perhaps was like a precursor to the explosion that country of popularity that country music has seen over the last few years.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was really interesting that came in 2016 when... I guess country kind of like exploded in 2018,
mm-hmm.
Like I guess in the mainstream. I was reading about this online and apparently it was like one of the producers had like was kind of working on like a country album and then had this opportunity and then they kind of just like tried it and mm-hmm. then I guess it did quite well. And yeah, I enjoy it. I thought it was quite an interesting choice.
Are you
and,
into
yeah.
country music?
Yes, so I really love country music.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a big country fan. I particularly like outlaw country as well, which I really enjoy. Mm-hmm. And then also, you know, like the classics like Dolly Parton, like Reba McEntire. Mm-hmm. And also, so my friend, okay, this is a tangent, but my friend Steph, who's also a big country fan, she gave me a book for Christmas a few years ago. And it had this whole chapter on something called like Lavender Country, which is like queer country music, mm-hmm. And like the kind of history in that. And it was cool. So interesting. There's some, so I have this like, yeah, I have this very niche like fascination with like I guess how like queerness has been expressed in country music as well.
So shall we hear Slow Down by Dewey Bob representing Netherlands.
Let's
and then after that we will take a short break again, which we will be back right after.
Sounds good.
I'm going nowhere and I'm going fast. I should find a place to go and rest. I should find a place to lay my head tonight. Every morning there's another start.
And do you hate that greedy, soulless international conglomerates are succeeding in the cutthroat world of coffee? Sounds like local coffee roasters Trek Coffee is for you. Trek Coffee is 100% indigenous and military veteran owned and operated. Let's keep small businesses thriving. Stop by Sunshine Convenience on 4th, the Super Value on Commercial, or Grocery Checkout in the Nest to pick up some Trek Coffee today.
Join us every other Wednesday from 6:30 to 8 p.m. for Sam Squanch's Hideaway with your host, Anita B., as she plays all Canadian music with a focus on indie rock and pop.
Welcome back, everyone. You are on CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver, and you are listening to Euronero, the Eurovision Song Contest show of CITR. I am together with Sophie, the host of Friday Night Fever on CITR every Friday from 6 to 7:30 p.m. Check it out. And we are talking about Eurovision 2016. We heard one of our favorite songs from that year, Slow Down by Dewey Bob, representing the Netherlands. Mm-hmm. We are closing in to the end of our show, and I cannot have enough of our conversation. Yes. It's like 1 hour flew by so fast.
It really did. We still have so much to talk about.
We still have so much more. So you should come again.
Yes, definitely.
Oh, sorry. We have an Instagram page, our show, euroneuro_CITR. And it's like firing up with messages like, talk more, have Sophie on the show for several more episodes. So you should come back.
Let's do it. So, give the people what they want.
Yeah, right? we would like to close with a song that was performed during as an interval act in Eurovision 2016. It's called Love, Love, Peace, Peace, performed by the hosts of the show, Mons Zelverlov and Petra Midi. And Mons is the previous year's winner. And he just keeps coming back to Eurovision. Every year you can find him somewhere. And the song is called Love, Love, Peace, Peace, and it's about how you make the perfect Eurovision song. And we will hear that. But before that, I'd like to thank Sophie a lot for being here. It was super fun.
Thanks for having me. I've had a great time.
Yeah. Any closing words?
I would just say, I've learned so much on this show, so thank you very much.
Me too.
It's been very educational. Likewise. It's been an interesting deep dive into Eurovision, and I feel like I'm like a fan now. I'm like very invested. Yeah, great. So thank you. Yeah.
Perfect. Thank you so much. It was a delight. And we will hear Love, Love, Peace, Peace now, and that will be the end of our show. Thank you all for listening to us, and I hope to see you again in our next episode covering Eurovision 2015. Until then, take care and goodbye.
Step one, get everyone's attention. A powerful, majestic start. Maybe battle horn of some kind.
Step two, drums. There has to be drums. It doesn't hurt if the drums are played by gorgeous topless men. It's proven very efficient through the years. But please feel free to try other alternatives. It's also proven helpful to go the exact opposite way. Use a grandmother.
Step three, show the viewers your country's ethnic background by using an old tradition folklore instrument that no one's heard before.
No. In this case, it's proven much more efficient to not use the male models. Go for an old man. A beard helps. The instrument is called the Swedish kvinna böske, a small roundish piece from the horn family, inherited from the Vikings. Just make something up, no one will know.
Step four. In Eurovision, nothing says winner like a violin. Trust us. Bring a violin.
Step five. The violin, the drums, and the kvinna böske might make it all feel a bit old-fashioned. This can easily be fixed by adding a DJ who pretends to scratch. In real life, of course, this is 30 years old, but in Eurovision, it'll give your number a contemporary feel.
Step six, costumes. You need to look memorable, something that the viewers will notice.
Perfect. Step seven, the song. Everything else might be important, but the song is essential. Let it be about something everyone can relate to. Love works. Peace is also a popular way to go.
Yes, peace is good. ABBA actually won the competition with a song about war with Waterloo, but this is not something we recommend.
When you have all your pieces gathered, go for it and don't look back.
Let the song begin with passion, let the wind begin to blow.
You can break the rules of fashion, and your chance to win shall grow. Look into the TV camera so the audience can see
that you're lovable, not desperate. Smile and they will vote for me.
Fill the stage with light as dancers will join us. The expectations grow. It's time for the chorus. Love, love, peace, peace.
For women making bread.
Peace, peace, love, love.
And a man in a house to be.
Love, peace, peace, love.
Make it unforgettable.
And you will be the best. And win the Eurovision Song Contest.
Now we'll go down and arch. Our hands will touch. Pretend we're in love.
It's you and me and we're change the key. We'll give the world a show.
Peace, peace,
and a burning fake piano. Peace, peace, love.